Today, we're continuing our series in Proverbs, and we're going to be tackling a topic that's peppered throughout the entire book of Proverbs, and it's a topic that impacts all of us, as it's really part of the human experience, and that is the emotion of anger, okay? So everyone struggles with anger to one extent or another, and that's because we are sinful individuals, and we are in contact with other sinful individuals in a world corrupted by sin and evil. And in the soup of all of that mess, it's not hard to experience a situation that makes you a little bit angry. I just spent a week with my parents and my two siblings. First time we've been together in 40 years for an entire week. And then you add on to that all of travel. So we got on each other's nerves. We did pretty well. We had the drunk patron at the restaurant right next to us who started wooing really loud for no reason, just like, woo, in the middle of a restaurant repeatedly. That set my mom off. We had to calm her down a little bit. You got the stress of the people in the airports who, like, you know they're late, you're all stressed, they're cutting right in front of you, and you've got to take a breath and be like, okay, I don't need to say anything. We just need to calm down. You've got the person in the seat behind you who's, like, drumming on the table on your seat, and you're like, okay, you're killing me right now. Can you stop with the drums? Like, there's a lot of situations. They're small, but it's very easy to allow these little things to just instantly cause you to just like be filled with anger and rage and upset. You want to say something. You want to make it right. What I find most interesting about anger is that it typically, I've seen, it jumps out of nowhere. It's one small thing. You're going about your day perfectly fine, and all of a sudden it's like, boom, you're really upset about something because of one action or one word that's been spoken. And sometimes it's the people you love the most. Maybe when you're tired, you've come home at the end of a long day, and you get home, and the one thing you asked your spouse to have done for you when you got home, they forgot to run that errand. Whoa, my mom left to go to the bathroom, and she told my dad, make sure you order me a Diet Coke. He forgot. She got back to the table. She said, did you order me a Diet Coke? He goes, oh, I forgot. She said, that's the only thing I asked of you. I've been thinking about a Diet Coke for 2 hours. I love my family. And it gave me so many examples for my sermon. Like, I went into this week knowing it was on anger and being like, this vacation is prime pickings for illustrations. But you understand, like, it's the small things that we can blow out of proportion so easily. Maybe a coworker of yours has come into work in a grumpy mood, and they were just short with you. And so right away, you're like, what's your problem? And rather than understanding they just had a fight with their spouse or their kids did something terrible the night before, you instantly get upset with them because they're not their typical self. Or maybe you find an error on a credit card or a bank statement and you have to call customer service to resolve it. We all know that can be challenging. That can sometimes set off a little bit of anger. You see, anger is simply a response to perceived threats, injustices, frustrations, and unmet expectations. It's when things seem to be going wrong. They aren't always actually going wrong, but it's how you perceive them that all of a sudden your emotions escalate and you have this feeling inside of you of rage. And now while the world tells us, don't get angry, get even, or don't hide your true feelings, just let it out and let people know what you're thinking, God's wisdom in the book of Proverbs offers us a very different way in how we are to handle our anger. A key verse for us to understand this is in Proverbs 29, verse 11. It says, fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. Fools vent their anger like the tea kettle when the steam builds up and the top lifts and the steam has to be vented out. Fools quickly react, but the wise quietly hold it back. So we've got two paths here of how we're to work with our, how people choose to respond to their anger. And we're going to break this up into two sections. Vent it out, which is reacting in the moment, or quietly holding it back. And one path is the way of the fool, and the other the way of the wise. So let's explore the way of the fool, which is uncontrolled anger. The first thing we learn about uncontrolled anger is that it makes you act foolishly. On Facebook Reels sometimes, I'll see videos. None of you all spend your time watching videos on the internet. This is just me, I'm sure. You've got little videos like a car. Everybody's got dash cams now. And like somebody will cut another car off and that car will instantly go to road rage and like ram the car that just cut them off. Or some people have recorded videos of like the Karen in the grocery store who has one thing not go their way and they throw a conniption fit in the middle of the grocery store because something didn't go exactly their way. People allow small little grievances to instantly burst up inside of them. And now because we have video cameras everywhere, people record those things and they put them out on Facebook and they put them out on YouTube and it becomes a really bad situation. And some people, when anger pops up, they do things that they might never normally do. And that's what Proverbs 14, verse 17 tells us. It says, a quick-tempered person does foolish things. And that's because anger clouds our judgment and decision-making. What happens when you get angry is that your brain goes into fight, flight, or freeze mode. Your reptilian brain takes over. Like, and your reasoning goes right out the window. And it causes you sometimes to do things that you wouldn't normally do. So when you allow your anger to burn in an uncontrolled, quick rage, you might do things that you would never do. You might say, call your spouse a name that you would never call them. I'm confident every person in this room at some point has done or said something that you later regretted because in the heat of the moment, you were really mad and something just flew out of your mouth or you did something that you're like, I can't believe I did that. When we don't control our anger, those moments are able to take place in our lives. Second, anger destroys relationships. So many marriages right now are a mess because one or both people tend to react with angry words and actions, not thinking about the consequences first. But it's not just marriages. It can be friendships and all relationships. If one of the people is hot-tempered, it usually becomes a problem in that relationship because there's argument and there's tension all the time because small things become big things. And then if the other person doesn't let it go, things escalate quickly. Proverbs 29, verse 22 says, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Just one person, one angry person can poison an entire work environment. Nobody maybe feels safe to speak in a meeting because you're all concerned about how that one person's going to respond if there's any critique of their work or the decisions that they made. And it doesn't matter if you're the angry person, it only happens once in a while. People remember your angry outbursts for a long time. If you're like, it's just a couple times a year, that's enough for you to have a reputation as the person who can't hold your tongue or the person who gets so angry and has these outbursts. You have to understand that your rage and your anger is almost like ripples when a boat's going through water and you have the wake that ripples out behind the boat. And yeah, there were some people in the meeting who heard you lose your temper, but guess what? They went and told other people at your work about what happened in that meeting. And so other people are thinking about how you've lost your temper. It's impacting others than just those that maybe you were in the argument with. And that's why it's so important that we have to control our anger because it destroys relationships and even beyond those that you have the conflict with. And finally, uncontrolled anger reveals our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything flows from your heart. When you lose control, it shows what's really inside you. I heard a husband tell me about a recent fight he had with his wife, and he called her some awful, awful names in the middle of that fight. And as I was thinking about it, I asked him, I said, do you think that perhaps the reason that those words even came out of your mouth is because you're sitting with some resentments towards your wife deep inside your heart that you haven't addressed? That's able to come out of you in the angry moment. You're able to guard and filter how you speak to your wife and how you interact with her just fine when you're in control. But in the moment that you lose control, in the moment that your brain goes into fight or flight mode, what's actually in your heart has been revealed. And maybe it wasn't just a one-off fight that you need to deal with your wife, but you've got some stuff inside your heart you need to deal with. Because what comes out is actually just shows, it's a display of what's going on inside your heart. Anger often pops up faster and hotter when it's connected to a deeper issue inside of you, like pride or maybe hurt feelings that person has wronged you before, and when they do it one more time, even though it's real small, you're like, I can't believe you always do this. Maybe you've noticed that once you feel like you have a problem with a person, like you almost turn them to be your enemy, so that every interaction then going forward, whatever they do and whatever they say, it causes you to get angry. Like that happens, and you end up in what was a normal relationship, but it turns and it goes sour. And so no matter, they can say, hey, good morning. And you're like, I didn't like the tone of how they said that. Can you believe they said that to me that way? And we have to understand the anger that's flaring up is a symptom of what's going on deeper inside our hearts. And if we want to deal with that, then we've got to deal with the real heart issue there and say, okay, God, you need to show me what's going on in my heart and why this keeps flaring up with this person or in this situation. So the fool has uncontrolled anger and just lets it burn. Proverbs frequently refers to the hot-tempered or the quick-tempered person, and there's a lot more verses than what we went through, but those hit kind of the three main points. The wise path, on the other hand, is one of self-control and gentle responses. The first thing we see for the wise path is knowledge exercises restraint. The person with knowledge exercises restraint. So if the foolish path is uncontrolled, knowledge holds back. It shows a level of control. Wise people choose how to respond rather than instantly reacting in the moment. Proverbs 17, verse 27 says, "The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered." Where Proverbs often says hot-tempered or quick-tempered, the one with knowledge and the one with understanding is even-tempered. They're able to slow down. They think before they speak. While it may feel natural to act out in anger, wisdom says slow down, show restraint, and prayerfully consider how to move forward or what to say next. Sometimes the best advice to a person who keeps having angry outbursts is to tell them that not everything needs an immediate response. You get a text message and right away you're like, why did they text me this? No, you don't need to text them back right away. Take a breath. Sit on it. Wait until maybe the next morning to reread that text, and maybe you're misreading it. That email that comes across as terse, maybe that's not their intention. Maybe ask a clarifying question, but you don't need to respond the moment that anger flares up in your heart. In fact, that's the worst time to respond. So show some restraint. Be willing to say, I'm just going to sit on this for a little bit. It allows you to shift out of that fight or flight mode and allows your brain and your reasoning to kick back in. Second point, true strength is self-control. We live in a society where people want to win their arguments online by making other people look bad or look silly or mocking them. They want to show their superior strength or wit, and they often do that through very aggressive language and maybe even in person aggressive posturing to let people know, like, I'm big, I'm strong, I've got to be right because of that. But that's not where true strength comes from. It doesn't just come from bullying other people. Proverbs 16:32 says, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. It's comparing and contrasting the mild, thinking, reasoning person with the one who has the biggest muscles and rushes the city and fights the biggest fights, and they're the greatest warrior. And it's like, it's better to be the person who uses your reasoning, who uses your thinking, who holds self-control, than to be the one who just bullies their way through all of life. It's really a countercultural message. Real power is restraint, not explosion. Lots of people try to win their arguments through aggression and angry outbursts, but that's not where real power lies. In fact, often those angry outbursts get them the opposite response of what they wanted. I once had a boss who could lose his cool in a moment. I was working at this place about a month, and the copy machine company did something wrong with the copier. And I've never heard greater fury than this man on a phone over a copy machine. And the issue there for me was very quickly, whoa, don't ever get on his bad side, because that wrath is crazy. And in his mind, he's big and he's bad and he's showing that he's in charge. But I didn't receive it that way. And I'm sure the person on the other end of the phone was like, oh my goodness, I'm not listening right now. This is too loud. You don't get the result that you want. True power, true strength is actually in the self-control to not get angry, to process what's going on, and to be able to respond appropriately. It gives you the strength you need to actually defeat the foolish people in your life who are causing you difficulty without just trying to start an argument with them, but being able to process through what's going on and come to the resolution you're looking for. Third, gentle words have power. As a kid, I must have thought that the person who talks the most and talks the loudest wins, because listen to me. I talk all the time, and my family told me repeatedly that I'm the loudest person in the entire room. But what I've learned and what I've observed is sometimes I'll see an argument, and at work, I worked a few years before I was in church, you'd have guys arguing about what idea was best. And a well-placed, quiet, calm word from the boss who'd been just sitting and watching could instantly quiet both of them as they realize that just getting into a I'm right, back and forth doesn't actually resolve anything. But being able to just speak a gentle, carefully placed word could immediately diffuse the situation and make both of them think, okay, why am I having this argument in the first place? Aren't we both in this trying to accomplish the same common goal? It just reframed everything. And I remember thinking, this is incredible to use. I would think, I wish I was that smart, honestly, because I was the guy who just talk a lot and talk loudly. But to be able to use your wisdom to think through, okay, what's the well-placed word that can actually diffuse this whole situation? This is essentially what Proverbs 15, verse 1 is pointing out when it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. That well-put, gentle answer can just bring things down real fast. But a harsh word stirs up anger. When somebody's upset, you have the opportunity to either escalate the situation or de-escalate the situation. You can make things calm down and smooth out and take the tension out of the room with a well-placed, gentle response, or you can lean in. And you can tell them that you're right or they're wrong and instantly pour gasoline on that fire and watch it explode. And it's up to us to decide, are we going to be the fool and step into it and make things worse? Or are we going to be wise with our words, controlled with our intentions, say the gentle word to try to say, hey, I see you're really upset over this. I didn't mean to cause this much angst inside of you. Can we talk about what's going on and why you feel so strongly? Is there something I did that I'm not aware of? When you bring just a little bit of a hesitancy there, people typically realize, okay, I'm at a 10 right now. I need to bring this down so that we can have a conversation and actually resolve things. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Fourth point, wisdom overlooks offenses. I actually did a full sermon on this topic several years ago, but the short story is, don't make mountains out of molehills. Some people are really good at taking a small offense and getting really worked up and really angry about it and not being able to let it go. And it's just one more thing why that person's terrible and they don't respect me. And there's a point where you're actually getting angry over things that the average person is just saying, you know what, it's not a big deal. Let's just keep moving on. And that's a really important skill in controlling your anger, to recognize there are some things that are worth getting upset about and saying, we need to actually resolve this conflict. But there's other conflicts that there's nothing really worth resolving. Just move on, let it go. Maybe that person had a bad day, but it's not worth addressing every single slight that you feel like is spoken around you. If that's how you are, you'll just be known as the angry person who's arguing over everything that anybody ever says. Proverbs 19:11 tells us, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. A person's wisdom yields patience. All of us as followers of Jesus should be people who want to grow in patience. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, and it allows us to step over the top of offenses and not let them get us all worked up. And actually, we live more in a more peaceful life if we don't allow every little molehill to become a barrier in our lives, but instead we just step over the top of them, ignore them, and are able to enjoy the life that God's given us and not be enraged by every little thing. It's about choosing your battles wisely. Some are worth having a conversation, but some things aren't. So, practically, how can we handle our anger, because it's a normal human response and reaction? How can we handle our anger God's way? First, like we've talked about, pause before you respond. Create space between your feeling of anger and when you actually act on it. I keep saying there's a big difference between reacting and responding. Reacting is normally immediate. You haven't really thought about it. It's the first thing that jumps into your mind or your heart, and you just do it or you say it. Responding is saying, I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to think this through. I'm going to think about the consequences and how that person might receive what I'm about to say or do. A big difference between reacting and responding. It's much better to pause and respond with actually thinking through what you want to do. Time is super helpful when you're angry. If maybe that's the one thing some of you take out of this message. If you lose your cool in a moment frequently, take a breath, step away, and allow some time to let your brain cool down. Tied to this, part of why we need to be slow in our anger is because we worship a God who is slow to anger. In Exodus 34, verse 6, God says of himself, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. This does not mean that God never gets angry. When we read through scripture, we read about his wrath, we read about his judgment. He has a righteous anger. But we also understand about our God is that he is slow to anger. He is the opposite of being quick-tempered or hot-tempered. He puts up with the Israelites for a very, very long time. But there are moments where there is righteous anger, and he allows for that. And we are allowed that ourselves, but it must be controlled. It must be slow. It must be thought through. And when we do it that way, and we do it in support of God's way, then we're acting in alignment with the God that we worship. Second practical point, examine your heart. Like we said, if you're having anger bubble out of you frequently, there's something going on inside of you. You feel inept. You feel like you're not good enough. You feel jealousy or maybe pride. There's something going on inside of your heart that's causing you to have angry outbursts frequently at every little thing people say, or maybe at that one single person, and you need to address that. You need to take that to God and say, God, help me with what's going on inside of me. Because those angry outbursts are venting of what's inside your heart. Take a moment and work with God and say, God, I need you to heal this. I need you to strip this away from me. I want you to help bring in me self-control. God wants to do that for you. Recognize anger is a symptom of what's going on in your heart. Third, choose your words carefully. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers. Weigh your answers. Think before you speak. Be careful. When Michelle and I have an argument, and they haven't been many in recent years, but early on in marriage, you're working through a lot of stuff. You all, raise your hand if early in marriage is tougher than later in marriage. Okay, yeah. We had the slowest arguments ever. It would, because we were both so careful to not say something that would be misinterpreted or offensive. And so as a result, it'd be like 30, 60 seconds between a word and a response. But what it did is it allowed our marriage to work through conflict without us getting angry with uncontrolled outbursts of anger, because we were very careful and guarded with our words. We weighed them. We thought about how will this person receive it. And when you do that, you keep from escalating and putting fuel on the fire, and instead, you're trying to come to an understanding and a resolve. And that really leads to the final point, and that is, in these difficult conversations, when you're feeling upset, seek reconciliation and not victory. The goal is that your relationship or the situation is resolved, not that you can say, I win. I was right. I picked it best. When you're in the mentality of, I want to be the one who wins the argument, you're always going to stir up more anger in the other person. But when you're seeking to simply bring reconciliation, when you're seeking to just bring a solution, then you're able to have a back and forth. You're allowing humility and forgiveness to work in that relationship and for the anger to be resolved and to come down. Every single day, you face the choice between the fool's path and the wise path when it comes to anger. The fool gives full vent to their anger. They allow it to just run uncontrolled because I'm just saying what I'm thinking. But when you do that, you're making a bigger mess of your life. You're creating a wake behind you that influences all sorts of people and how they think of you, how they see you, how they respond to you. You destroy relationships, reputation, and even your own peace as you're always in this state of fighting. You're always in a state of arguing and anger. The wise person exercises self-control, patience, speaks gently, and seeks to bring healing rather than harm. So this week, if you feel anger rising up inside of you, pause, take a breath, pray, ask God to show you what's going on in your heart. Ask yourself, what would be the wise way to handle this situation? What would be God's way for me to deal with this rather than just instantly reacting? Then choose words that heal rather than hurt. Think about how the other person is going to hear them. If you're actually in conflict with somebody, do not text or email them. Have the conversation face-to-face, at worst over the phone. So much can be heard in how you speak it. If you're dealing with angry emotions, don't do it through the written word. It will be misinterpreted. And finally, remember that self-control is a mark of true strength. You don't have to be the big bad wolf who's just yelling at everybody. Have some self-control. Show some restraint. That's a sign of true strength and maturity. As you go from here now, I hope that you're willing to think about how to be a person who controls those angry emotions. It's normal to have that feeling of injustice or being wronged, but the godly deal with it God's way. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?